You're listening to Epic, now with more
Overused Radio Effects.
We will return after these messages.
Last night, I watched you sleeping. Tenderly, I cried. Because there was no keeping down the feeling deep inside. I knew that I was blessed to be right there next to you. Mere words could not express it, how the love had filled me through. You were a vision almost holy, as my teardrops kissed your head. Your eyes, they opened slowly, then you looked at me.
This is Robert Mayer from The String. You're listening to Epic.
And we are back once again. You are listening to Paul and Storm's... hold on, what were we listening to?
Music.
Boy, if I was prepared.
It's in the show notes.
It's in the show notes. It's Paul and Storm something. Right here with you. That's what it was. Once again, you can head on over to geekglue.com, check out the show notes for this episode where you can find all the links to their website, Bandcamp, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play. Go out, buy it, and freaking own it, man.
And if you do buy it, tweet them and let them know that you bought it after hearing from it from us on Epic Series.
Yeah, the two songs we played today, I was kind of at a toss-up which one of the songs from their album I played. They're all pretty good, but the two songs that I played today are, they both have music videos and are free to listen to on YouTube. Which is why I picked them. All right, we're going to keep on nerd raging here, and we're going to pick on Star Wars a little bit, I think. And then if you're going to pick on Star Wars, man, the big target is, well, the big three targets is episodes 1, 2, and 3, or what I like to call the green screens.
Oh, my. Because CG screens. And special effects makes for a good movie.
Well, apparently with CG and special effects, you no longer need to care about character development.
That's right.
And
acting and storyline and scripting.
To be fair, as much as we all love episode 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, yeah, there's issues there, too.
Plot development and character dialogue are not Lucas's strong suit.
They are not his strong suit, but they are much better than those prequels. And the other thing is, most of the actors in the prequels were pretty good. Mm-hmm. But there were some big stinkers. There weren't any stinkers in the originals. And the other thing is, what you also have to understand is that for the first Star Wars movie, Lucas's wife had a lot of influence. Yeah. Then they got divorced, and he tried to remove all of the influence that she had. For instance, Star Wars, she says, Luke has to get the girl because Luke is the hero. The anti-hero can't get the girl. Luke has to get the girl. So they get divorced and, oh, yeah, Luke and Leia, brother and sister. Yeah, can't happen. So
I don't know. I thought that was a good twist.
It was was a good twist, but it makes
already kissed.
Star Wars a little, wait a minute.
But that's what makes it a twist. It's like, oh, damn, they already quit. You know.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, thanks for the spoilers.
Yes, total spoiler alert.
All right, well,
jerk, I'm watching that next week.
I'm going to assume that everybody listening to this has already seen the Star Wars movies, all 6 of them. Because if you haven't, yeah, big spoilers if you haven't heard all this stuff before.
Now, that also leads me to I'm thinking the new ones and Luke and Leia being brother and sister and all that. And I just remembering the scene where they were born. And mm-hmm. you know, they have the technology to fix a guy who fell in lava and is missing some limbs. But, oh my, she just didn't want to live anymore.
She lost the will to live.
What's your medical degree in?
Says the robot with the spatula hands.
No, it's so frustrating. And that's the other thing. I mean, heck, I can even say that there are some good points about the first movies. But one of my big problems with Lucas is he will start with really great female characters and ruin them. Mm-hmm. Padme was awesome. She kicked butt. She fought. She stood up for herself. Episode 3, she's just standing there waiting for Anakin the entire time. And then her heart is broken and she loses the will to live. I'm sorry that your children don't give you will enough. If you can't live for yourself, you can't live for your children. What the heck?
Like, or your people?
I think that
it's horrible. She loses all power. She gives all of her political power to Jar Jar Binks. I mean, everything yeah. is just wrong. You've got this amazing character who, by the way, is being acted by a fantastic actress, and she's standing there in a robe waiting for Anakin.
I think those birth robots are programmed to say that when they
when they fail.
Up.
Yeah.
So in order to avoid a malpractice suit.
There's a few problems, though. First, they were tied to canon, which said that her, you know, basically her mother died of a broken heart. So they had to have that happen.
Yeah, but I don't think it actually was a literal thing. It was more like, you know, a metaphorical.
Maybe, but they
apparently
had to,
not,
they,
but.
They had to follow suit with that. Now, the thing is, you could have done that in much better ways.
Oh, yes.
Than just kind of.
She was the worst Disney princess ever.
So. I want to mention one more thing that's going to rage a little bit, and my solution to it.
Yes.
Midichlorians.
Do we even have to say that? I mean, MacGuffins. Who isn't raging over midichlorians? You don't need to explain. It's the Force, okay? Just the Force.
The Force is.
You don't have to explain in a scientific way. You don't have to quantify this idea of a higher power. Just go with it. Midichlorians is just the worst.
Well, what was that robot chicken joke? Yeah. It's like, midichlorians. Well, the Force is actually just microscopic bacteria in your DNA. Look, if you're not going to take this seriously, I'm out.
What I like to think about them as, this is what I like to think.
Go ahead.
People who are Force sensitive emanate the Force. The Force swirls around them. This was a said either in the cartoons or in the movies at some point. Mm-hmm. I think...
Said by... it's said by Obi-Wan in episode 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think midichlorians might just be creatures that thrive in those situations. So they tend to, like all the other bacteria on the human body, they tend to procreate a little bit more. So they're a good indicator. They're a good litmus test to who has the Force swirling around them. But they do in no way contribute to your ability to use the Force.
So essentially you're saying that the midichlorians are like Jedi athlete's foot.
Yeah. Except not itchy, right?
Jedi herpes.
I'm going to do a little bit of cross promotion here because there was an interview that Mark Kilfoyle, our program director, recorded. And it was played on Prof, paraphrasing, which is another show on CHSR, about this woman who had a Kickstarter because she photographs orbs. Okay, right. So now you're making me think that midichlorians are these orbs that are attracted by the Force.
Well, they're not. They're bacteria. I think they're bacteria,
baby,
and they
midichlorians.
What else? Oh, you know, really? Orbs aren't bacteria. Orbs are little pieces of dust that get caught in the flash.
Yes, yes. But this woman seems to think you can attract them if you're very excited.
If you go into an old dusty house, yes, you can.
Yes.
Anyway,
they're all over my house. I must really attract them. It's haunted.
There's orbs everywhere.
I have orb bunnies going down my stairs. Anyway, so going back to the midichlorians. So I like to think of it as, and I like to think of them as the dark, like in the earlier movies, they're in the dark ages of this thing, and they're actually thinking that the Midichlorians give them the power. They don't realize yet that the Midichlorians are just there because they have access to the Force the way they do. So later on in the next three movies, maybe they might mention something like, we used to think that these things gave us the power.
So it turns out we figured it out, and yeah.
They have nothing to do with it.
Wow, we were wrong.
Yeah. I'd like to see
it. So basically, Mark has his headcanon has fixed Midichlorians for him, as my headcanon has fixed Khan in Star Trek for me.
Yes. Well, if we're gonna nerd rage about Star Wars, let's talk about one more thing. Mark, can you define a parsec for me?
Actually, yes, I can. I can look it up.
Let me ask Mr. Google.
So you can't, but Google can. Okay.
No, I ran a marathon in only 12
here
miles.
We go. It's 3.0856 times 10 to the 16 meters, and I believe it's sometimes it's called an astronomical unit of length. Used to measure distance between outside the distance. What, it's something about the sun and the earth, isn't it?
Or one AU is the distance from the sun to the earth.
Yeah, that's an astronomical.
So that's one parsec. So when Han, boasting about how fast his ship is, says, I can make the Kessel Run in only 12 parsecs. Well, it's a unit of measurement.
The Kessel Run
should be a set distance, right?
Is maybe the Kessel Run is 0 to 60.
No, what they've done...
Maybe it's a maze that they have to fly the ship through, and he just found the shortest way through the maze.
Exactly. Or actually, knowing Han's character, more likely it's him just trying to be a braggart to be like, oh, look how impressive I am. Well, like, we've all seen fanboys, I would assume, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sort of the same way they're also, a Hutch was basically trying to impress the girls, talking about all this other kind of nerd stuff that they had no idea about. He just throwing out jargon to try to sound cool.
The first known usage of the word parsec was in 1913.
Really?
Interesting.
The canon explanation is that the Kessel system has like a very thick asteroid field.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to weave through it. So getting to the planet the fastest way possible is to take the shortest, straightest line.
Yeah,
so the bravest pilot is the one who weaves the less. Mm-hmm. So the least. So doing the Kessel Run in the shortest distance is like a sign of a good pilot and a good ship, which is a fantastic explanation for how George Lucas got it wrong and thought a parsec was a unit of time instead of a unit of measurement.
It's like somebody saying I'm 3 light years old or something like that.
So I will say, by the way, we joked about Padme being the worst Disney princess ever. I'm happy that Disney has bought the rights to Star Wars, because I think it can only improve. I love Star Wars, by the way. We are nerd raging. That doesn't mean we don't. The reason we nerd rage is
because we love
really
it.
Love yeah. these things.
My question is going to be, though, how is Mr.
Only
JJ
rage Sorry. Out of love? But I am very excited to see what is going to be done from Disney, because, as I said, Lucas is he's dialogue and character development. He just doesn't have. But Disney can do that, I think.
Yeah, well, it's okay. They're going to have Abrams doing the directing.
Exactly.
The question is, who are they going to have?
And he likes Star Wars.
Yeah, yes. Who are they going to have doing the writing, though? The writing is really kind of the thing that's sidelined a lot of the time.
Yep.
But strong writing is very, very important.
But, though, there's also practical effects again, which we've seen already, I'm excited about.
I just searched on Wolfram Alpha, how fast is the Millennium Falcon? And it interpreted my question as the distance in which the Millennium Falcon can make the Kessel Run. And the result is less than 12 parsecs, according to Han Solo.
That is fantastic. Yeah. I love you, Wolfram Alpha.
But that's a nice example. We kind of excuse these from the original three movies because we love them so much. So we start to overlook their flaws, where we maybe exaggerate the flaws.
It's because it is also because of the new thing cannot be greater than the original thing, which we're so fond of.
Rose-colored glasses.
Exactly. Yeah. So you go back and look at some things, you're like, man, this was awesome. Like, I recently watched some 80s cartoons that I haven't seen since the 80s, and I'm like, how are my parents not raging rage alcoholics for the shows I used to watch? Like, I'm like, they just don't hold up, make no sense at all, but of course...
What sort of demented brain damage did I have to enjoy original series Transformers?
Watch Bionic 6 or Silverhawks, so you understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bionic 6 and Silverhawks were the two cartoons.
Silverhawks, oh my
God. I know!
I watched Thundercats not that long ago, and I couldn't get through an episode. I used to think this was so cool.
Look up the, look up the Thundercats blooper reels, by the way. They are hilarious. It's the actual cast just with audio takes. And it's, Lionel, like you've never heard him before. Yeah. Definitely not safe for work.
I will say, I think that the Next Generation movies were definitely better out of the gate than the original series movies, because you've got Generations versus the motion picture.
Well, they had a universe to follow at that, by that point. Like, they, like, throughout the series, they really spent the time to develop the Star Trek universe.
But, I mean, Star Trek Insurrection is still a thing, and that was a god-awful movie.
Yeah, and Star Trek The Final Frontier is still a thing.
And Nemesis wasn't that great either.
Insurrection. Insurrection
and, I think, wait, is
Nemesis.
Insurrection?
Nemesis and Insurrection are the two that were really, really bad, I think. And
which
Nemesis.
One was the one with Super Data?
That's Super, Nemesis.
That was Nemesis.
That was Nemesis. Yeah.
Don't worry, he had the skin.
Yeah, that's the one where the young Picard was bald for some reason.
I actually didn't have a problem with Insurrection. The only thing about Insurrection was it was a long episode.
Do you know what?
That's what it was. It wasn't a movie. It was a long episode.
Yeah,
so
that's what
people's big problems with. I have huge problems with Nemesis.
Nemesis, you know what they should have done in Nemesis? They should have had to play, what was the young Picard clone name? I forget.
Oh, jeez.
Shinzon.
They should have had, Patrick Stewart play Shinzon as well.
Ooh.
They should have had him play his mirror. He would have been the same age, but just a completely different background and totally evil. I think he could have pulled that off.
That would have been
amazingly
cool, actually,
well.
Yeah.
I want someone to go through and re-edit Nemesis, but do it again with adding the Bane mask and voice.
And we should
point understand the thing I'm saying.
Well, you know, if you think about it, I mean, in the movie, Bane grew up in that prison underground, and Shinzon grew up in a mine underground.
Yeah,
they are the same person.
Oh my god, Half-Life 3 confirmed, guys.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Oh, finally. Well, that's kind of random, but okay.
At first I thought that he was just to say, also nerd rage about this.
Well, there's one last thing I want to point out before we finish the show, because we're at the end of our third segment now. We were talking about how the next Star Wars movie is going to be done by a Star Wars fan, namely J.J. Abrams. We should point out that Nemesis was written and directed by a big Star Trek fan.
Yes, and you can see the early stages of the movie if you watch the documentary Trekkies.
Did the studio screw the movie up?
Yes.
Is that what happened?
Originally, it was centered around a space station, and there was the Scimitar as a ship, but there was this whole space station, and you didn't get the entire storyline, but you could definitely see that, you know, there was no young Picard. They took a character and transformed it into that. They made Data a larger role. The fan, it appeared... from the Trekkies documentary, it appeared that he had a very good Romulan storyline going on. Mm-hmm. And of course, the studio's like, nobody knows what Romulans are, so we can't focus on them. We've got to have Picard. Yeah, everybody knows Picard. And we don't care about the rest of the bridge crew. It's just Picard and Data.
Right. Anyway, and they're definitely ripping. They're trying to kill Data the same way they killed Spock. And anyway, we're going to end the show there. I want to point out, I can't take the full credit for that whole Picard playing Shinzon thing. Is it Shinzon? It was Shinzon. Yeah, that I actually got from another podcast I'm listening to called Trek Off. You can listen to it at trekoffpodcast.com.
You Trek Off.
That's you. Exactly what it's supposed. It's not not safe for work, kind of. Talk
or
about
radio.
Star Trek all the time, and they make some good points, and that was one of them. I'm going to go through the usual spiel here again. Geekly.com, go over there, like our shows, and listen to them all there. You can find us on iTunes and on chsrfm.ca, of course. You can like our Facebook page, facebook.com/epiccsr. Our Twitter is at epiccsr. You can head on over to Geekly. You can find all of our Twitter accounts. You can follow all of us there individually. Etc., etc., etc. We will see you again next time.
Epic is a Geekly production and published by the CHSR Broadcasting Corporation. The Epic theme music, Cheesy Lab, is written and produced by Kevin MacLeod. It is provided under Creative Commons License Attribution 3.0. All views expressed on this program is solely those of the individual and not necessarily shared by Geekly Productions or CHHR Broadcasting Corporation.
Who does a good Jar Jar?
Why is everyone looking at me? Sexy Chewbacca?
Sexy Chewbacca.
Bring me Solo and the Wookiee.
Wookiee pickup line.
Dark Knights on Kashyyyk.
Log into Plenty of Wookiees.
Plenty of Wookiees. Plenty of fur.
That probably exists.
Fine. Never mind. I'll go audition for Star Trek.
That's it. They don't.
Are you out of your goddamn Vulcan mind? I'm a doctor, not a Foley artist.